time to tell you about a remarkable story. A memorial bench was unveiled yesterday to the man on the line whose great-great-granduncle, Dennis Fenton, emigrated to Massachusetts in 1906 and went on to fight in World War One and achieve great things at Olympic Games. Mirish Fenton is the man on the line. Good morning to you, Mirish. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Jerry. Can I start you getting ready to hear you?
Tommy Gamott. Mirish, tell me about your great-great-granduncle. He lived a remarkable life. He emigrated to Massachusetts in 1906, went on to join the U.S. Army and fight in World War One.
He sure did, yeah. Immigrated from here. There were two Fenton families in Ballincota here at the time. Dennis's family and our family, and our relation, it began out really. The easiest way to explain it, it would be that my grandfather and Dennis Fenton would have been second cousins.
Right.
So it has kind of gone out, but his nearest relation, I'd like to stress this, his nearest relations in Ventry at the moment and down through the years were the Fitzgeralds of Badenkay, the next village up. His sister went up and married the Sean Fitzgerald. So they would be the very, very closest. Now, as you would imagine, like, there was eight of them immigrated to America, and big families there, and Dennis, like you said, immigrated in 1906, had his way paid for by his sister, who sent him the fare, and on his way he had the grand total of $15 going over. Worked in a leather factory for 2 years in Fitchburg. I said didn't fancy the job, and went on then and joined up the American Army in Fort Slocum in New York. Served for a time there, and then was shifted out to the Philippines, where he was until 1911. Now, it's out there that they copped his rifle skills that he had. He was actually very, very, very sharp with the rifle. And he served his time there and came back then again. He served a bit of time in China as well. Maybe a year and a half in China. And came back then. And then the team was being picked for the Antwerp Olympics. He became a sergeant in 1916. And the team was being picked for the Antwerp Olympics. And he made the team. And they went on and trained in Germany for 3 weeks before going to Belgium. So that was the start of it, and in Belgium, in Antwerp, he won 3 gold medals and a bronze in 1920.
Four golds or four medals, 3 golds and a bronze. Yeah, and a bronze.
Yeah. And then he followed that up. He followed that up then in Paris in 1924 with one another bronze. So he finished his total was 3 gold and 2 bronze medals, which was a fair achievement for a man from a small little village like Ballincota in West Kerry.
Incredible. And when it comes to the Olympics, I suppose, look, because his medals were won for the US, not many people would have known about it or heard of him recently here.
We didn't hear about him until maybe about 25 or 26 years ago. I got a phone call one day on the landline here at home from a gent down in Carsevine who was doing a research on forgotten Irish Olympians. And that was the start of it, really, because I think what happened back in the day, 100 years ago, stayed in America or stayed in Belgium or whatever the Olympics were, it was no big deal.
Yeah.
So we started doing a bit of research then into it. And of course, Google, he's a great companion to have, and the whole thing just came to light.
So tell me about yesterday then. What happened? There was relatives and Americans and a whole lot over.
Yeah, we were planning this back in 2020, Jerry, that it coincided with Antwerp. But maybe it was better this year because of Paris.
Yes.
We put a small committee together, a local committee, just four of us. Seamus O'Loing of the Ifig of Wish and Shupri O'Loing Countraw, Caroline Boland of Dingle Tourism, a cousin of mine, Paul Fenton, who did an almighty heap of work with emails and what have you, getting the relations in America to come across, and myself. So we got Kerry County Council then on board to clear a site inventory for the old phone box was opposite the post office. And fair play to the local workers in the Kerry County Council. They got the whole thing done within a day and a half. Absolutely brilliant. And the backup we got from Kerry County Council with the community, don't just the grant Marion Linnett was a local engineer, and for the funding, there was no problem whatsoever. And it was a pleasure to work with him.
Yeah.
And of course, we can't forget the councillor Brown Down Fitzgerald of Dingle, who did Trojan work on our behalf in the council as well. Now, that was then, but yesterday then we had the unveiling, and we had the US flag and the tricolour knitted together, covering the bench. But along with that, I had invited Peter Sherrard, who is the chief executive of the Olympic Federation of Ireland.
Oh, yes.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And he arrived, and by Jesus, he didn't come empty handed. He came with the Olympic flag.
Oh, that's so brilliant. Yeah.
It was absolutely, it added big time to it, you know, and he gave a great, great speech at the occasion, you know. And we had Darrow O'Kineda, who is no introduction in any part of Kerry and any part of Ireland. He was our referee, our MC for the day, and he spoke a squall in the douche, and then he followed up for the Yanks, because we were expecting about 15 Yanks, but it was about 35 of them came. All relations of Dennis Hinton.
Yeah.
And, he went on,
was there a connection with Springfield, Massachusetts, obviously?
There was indeed, because his great-great-grandniece now she has the medals, and we tried to get the medals for this occasion, but Jesus, there was no way she was going to release them. They're in the safety box in a bank out in Springfield, and we tried
probably better off out there where is that for sure, well, given the value of them and all of that. But tell me this, after the Olympics, he returned to army life, retired, he went retired. He moved to California, and he passed away in 1954. That's where he's buried, where it says Dennis Fenton of Ireland on the gravestone.
That's right. Yeah, he died the same year as I was born. And
we're not serious.
I think it was the 29th of March, just gone actually, 29th of March, 1954. He passed away, and. He left a great legacy after him.
As did
many more forgotten Olympians. There's a Dr. Tom Hunt up in Mullingar who did research on this as well. He wrote a book on it. And he was here, he spent a day here with me back in 2012, I think. And to this day, he says that Dennis Fenton remains the 15th sharpest shooter ever to compete in the Olympic Games at shooting. Now the shooting competitions are no more. They've been away with a number of years. But it's a great record to have.
Yeah, you know? It certainly is. And look, it's a brilliant story, Mairish.
There's one thing there I'd like to add before I finish up,
yes.
Jerry. It's the bench. The bench is absolutely looking brilliant, and I must thank Brendan O'Shea and Bonogus Bowl, who did the engraving, the writing. It's a scale, a type of wine, and English on the other side, and Brendan made an absolutely fantastic job of the whole thing.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Well, listen, Mairish, congratulations. Thanks for telling us the story, and well done on remembering a remarkable West Kerry man. Go Ramaha, go Dagaslán.
Yeah, kill me the fountain with Slán go hold.